So today I'm going to be concluding my preaching series on the parables of Jesus about the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. And on February 12th, maybe you remember, we're going to do a little quiz here. I did a parable on the wheat and the weeds, and Jesus taught us that there is no judging of other people in the kingdom of heaven. I was hoping someone would say people, but okay. On February 26th, I preached on the unforgiving servant, and Jesus taught us that when we deny forgiveness to others, we risk losing his forgiveness as well. On March 5th, I preached about the parables of the workers in the vineyard, and Jesus taught that the kingdom of God is built on grace, undeserved grace. And it doesn't always make sense to our feeble and, frankly, judgmental human minds. Today, I'm going to conclude our story on our study into these parables on the kingdom of heaven with the parable of the talents. Three servants in the story are given bags of gold. The word here is talent. And while the NIV Bible calls them a bag of gold, it really was 60 pounds of pure silver, okay? And so we talked about this a couple weeks ago, that a talent is worth 20 years of hard labor, of your life's work, okay? So when you hear bag of gold in this story, I think it's best to imagine $1 million. So you hear a bag of gold, $1 million. You hear five bags of gold, this is $5 million. One servant is invited to invest $1 million. Another servant is invited to invest $2 million. And the third servant is invited to invest $5 million. The money does not belong to them. They are merely loaned the talents in order to make a good investment. Now, these days, when we hear the word talent, we don't think of money, do we? We think of innate gifts that all of us have, like the beautiful voice of a singer, or the clever hands of a mechanic, or the bright mind of a scholar. And the word talent changed in the English language because of this parable, right? Jesus, though, he was talking about investing great wealth. But for the last 150 years, preachers have been pointing out that you have a talent, and you have a talent, and you have a talent, and you better use it well in this world. If you can sing, sing for the glory of God. If you can fix stuff, fix things for the glory of God, particularly on April 1st during the work day here at Valley Covenant Church. And if you can study, then you should teach in a Sunday school class here for the glory of God. Now, some people have many talents. Others of us, well, we're a little more limited, maybe one or two talents. But no matter how talented or untalented you might feel, all of us, I'll speak Texan here, all y'all are told to invest your talents in the purposes of God for the redemption of the world. That's good news. Let's hear the good news, shall we? Let's turn to Matthew 25, verses 14 through 30. It kind of picks up on that, on those oil in my lamp parable from before. It's a little different, but it builds on the last parable. Jesus said, "Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. And the man who received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come, share your master's happiness." The man with 2 bags of gold also came. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold, and see, I've gained 2 more. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." Then the man who had received 1 bag of gold came. "Master," he said, "I knew you were a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. Well then, where you not scattered seed. So I was afraid and I went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here's what belongs to you." His master replied, "You wicked, lazy servant. So you knew I harvest where I have not sown, and I gather where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers, so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him, and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them, and throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Yikes! The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So, first point I want to make today is stewardship is not fearful. Okay? Stewardship is not fearful. The first servant was an incredible success. He invested his 5 talents wisely and brought an additional 5 talents back to the boss. And the boss told him, "Well done, good and faithful servant," which is what all of us should hope to hear from our Father Almighty someday. The second servant invested his 2 talents wisely and brought back an additional 2 talents to his master. And once again, "Well done, good and faithful servant." It wasn't the amount that they brought back. It was the fact that they invested wisely. The third servant buried a single talent under the ground. Let's call him Steward Little. I like the book, but still, he's a little steward, I know. The boss chewed out Steward Little, saying, "You wicked, lazy servant." By the way, this is not what you want to hear from your Lord and your Master. The biggest difference between the good and the faithful servants and the wicked and the lazy servant, it was not the profit margin. The biggest difference between them was fear. Steward Little declared, "I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground." Just imagine hearing that lame excuse from the person who manages your retirement savings. "Oh, yeah, I know you gave us this money 30 years ago, or you've been working on this pension for 40 years. I know, but I was afraid of what might happen to the stock market. So here's all that money that you gave to us with no return on your investment over the last 30, 40 years in the midst of record inflation and after a record stock market rise over the last 40 years. How would you feel about getting your money back in that situation? Do you have more sympathy for the master in the story than you did a moment ago? Would you call your wealth management specialist a wicked and lazy servant? And say, yeah, you probably would. You expect a good return on your investments, don't you? Well, God also expects a good investment on the talent he has given to each and every person in this room. There is no one here who's exempt from the talents that God has given. Not the children, not the oldest person in the room. All of you have a talent, and God expects you to put it to good use. Now, Jesus crafted this story to teach his disciples that they need to take some responsibility for using their talents wisely. Jesus didn't give Peter, James, or John 60 pounds of silver. Jesus chose them because they had some gifts from God of leadership, of communication, of wisdom, perhaps. And all of these disciples struggled with fear when Jesus was sent to die on the cross. But all of the disciples, except for Judas, eventually put their talents to work in this world. The good news of Jesus Christ spread throughout the Mediterranean in just a few generations because the disciples, they overcame their fear with faith. The parable of the talents reminds modern disciples that fear is still overcome by faith. Maybe God will miraculously double your talents like the first two disciples, or maybe God will give you a more modest return on your spiritual investments. And we need to worry less about the results and more about our faithfulness. God does not expect you to earn your salvation with hard works, but God will bless your investments in a surprising and spectacular way. I flew in to be here in Eugene this weekend, and I always ask for the cheapest, the most economy rental car I can, always. It's what I do. I'm nervous around fancy cars. This week they had two cars to give me. One was a huge gas guzzling truck, said no thanks. The other car I got to choose was a luxury car made by BMW. Now, this car, I looked it up on my phone. It's not just a Beamer. It's a 440i. This is a crazy expensive car that they entrusted unto me. I didn't ask for this, but man, this is worth a bag of gold. I've been afraid to drive this thing. Yesterday, part of it was the sunshine, and part of it was fear. I put 7 miles on my Fitbit walking around town because I didn't actually want to drive this car for fear that someone would scratch it or that I'd get into an accident. Today, when I went to Starbucks, I was fearful that the baristas were looking at me because I showed up in a suit, stepping out of a Beamer, as I just wanted my cup of coffee. I say this to you because I feel convicted that God gave me this gift of grace that I've been afraid to use. I'd like to say that you may never get a Beamer at the rental car counter in your life, but God's given you something far more valuable in the talents that he's given you for music or for teaching or for running the soundboard here at church or for kindness or the talent to say to a friend, hey, do you want to come and join me for church on Easter Sunday? You have been given a gift. What keeps us from using it? What's keeping your Beamer in your driveway? Put aside your fear. Show some faith. After church, I'm going to go drive on the freeway. I will try not to exceed the speed limit too much. Thankfully, it's got Oregon plates, not Washington plates or worse, California plates. Don't live in fear. God's given you good things. Invest them wisely. I'm never going to drive a Beamer again, I'm guessing. Number two, stewardship is not foolish. Okay, so stewardship is not fearful. Stewardship is not foolish. Do you see where I'm going? I'm all F's so far, okay? Not fearful, not foolish. The boss invested his money wisely, okay? Jesus tells us that the servants were given money each according to his ability, right? Okay, so the first servant, he was given $5 million. Why? Because he's the kind of person you can trust $5 million with. The second servant was given $2 million. Why? Because he's the kind of servant that you would entrust to give $2 million to. The third servant, he was given an opportunity. He was given a chance. He was given just a little bit, $1 million, to see what he would do with it. Half of what one servant got, 20% of what another servant was given. Steward Little was given a gift. And the boss in the story put his faith in his servants, but not because he was foolish. He gave it out according to each by their ability. Steward Little calls the boss man a hard man. And this phrase in the Greek has both positive and negative connotations in that culture. It's kind of like saying tough businessman today, okay? It's both good and bad, right? Where you're like, I get nervous around tough businessmen. On the other hand, you go, yeah, but that's the kind of person I want investing my money for me, maybe. The boss, well, he harvests where he does not sow, and the boss gathers where he does not scatter seed. In other words, what's a way we could put this in English? Basically, the boss succeeds in business without really trying, okay? Everything goes well for the boss. Easy success. So the boss accepts his servant's half-hearted flattery, but he doesn't accept the excuses that are coming from Steward Little. He says, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back, even if it's a little bit of interest. Even if it's just a marginal amount, it's something. The boss never expected Steward Little to have the success of his $5 million servant and his $10 million or $2 million servant, okay? He knew that Steward Little was risk averse. He had less ability than the others. It would have been absolutely foolish for the boss to give this guy $8 million at the beginning of the story. Please notice that the boss never asks and never expects his servants to double their money. The boss just wants them to invest their talents wisely. All Steward Little had to do was put his money in the bank and make a little interest. But instead, the servant buries his talent in the ground where no one will ever see it and no one will ever be impacted by it. The parable of the talents does not teach us to be foolish with our money or our abilities, okay? If you don't have a strong singing voice, you don't have to invest your time singing karaoke or pushing your way to the front at church to sing, lead singer in the church. You don't need to do that. But God wants you to honor the investment of time and talent and treasure in the kingdom. Again, this is not a parable about works righteousness where you earn your salvation. It's a statement of you've been given so much. What are you doing with what you got? Okay, my third point is stewardship is faithful. Okay, so it's not fearful. It is not foolish. Stewardship is faithful. And the story ends with the boss taking the talent away from Steward Little and giving it to the servant who had 10 talents. Jesus says, for whoever has been given more, they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken away from them. And we read that out of context. We say, that's not fair. That's not kind. Hey, this is grace. We're not talking about what's fair here. We're talking about what allows the kingdom of heaven. What allows the kingdom of God to have the greatest impact in the world? And this is true. You see somebody who invests their talents and God gives them more and more talents to do more and more good things. And you see people who are afraid or they're too busy or they don't care enough to invest their talents in the life of the church or in the life of the community. And even those good things that they have trickle away. They disappear. That's just a fact. It might sound unfair, but you would behave the same way if someone mismanaged the money you invested with them. Good stewardship is about having the faith to invest your time, your treasure, your thanksgiving in the purposes of God. I want you to think today of talent as a muscle. If you use it, you will keep it. But if you do not use it, you'll lose it, right? Singers, they have to keep on singing, right? Otherwise, they're going to lose their beautiful voices. Mechanics have to keep on working on cars constantly. Otherwise, the automotive industry will completely pass them by. Boy, that changes every year. You got to get trained again and again and again. And scholars, they have to keep on learning. They have to keep on teaching. Otherwise, all that learning was a waste of time. Talent is just a natural or born ability that God has given you. Until we have the faith to put what God has given us to work in the world, faith exercises our talents. Faith develops our talents. Faith takes our talents and puts it to work in the kingdom of God, and something good comes out of what God has given you, not for your glory, but for the glory of God and for your neighbor's good. As I said before, the first enemy of faith is fear. It's tragic when someone's beautiful singing voice never gets heard because that person is too scared to sing in public. In the same way, it's tragic whenever fear keeps us from investing our money and our talents or driving the BMW that has been given to us for a weekend. Fear is what causes us to hoard our wealth, to hoard our abilities, and to use them only for ourselves. Jesus warned us about building bigger silos to store our extra wealth, to have $1 million in the bank, but never to invest it for the purposes of God in this world. Jesus warned us about hiding our light under a bushel, to have the ability to play the piano and never to let anyone hear that because of your discomfort. The gifts of God are not to be wasted underground. God gave you, each and every one of you, some special gift, some special talent that no one else has. Do you have the wisdom to put aside your fear and use it faithfully in this congregation, in this community, for the glory of God? The second enemy of faith is foolishness. It's tragic when someone has a beautiful singing voice, destroys it with smoking or straining their voice or screaming. In the same way, it's tragic when we invest our money and our talents foolishly. Foolishness is wasting our talents in an undisciplined manner. Jesus warned us about building a tower without counting the cost. Jesus warned us about a king who went to war without counting the soldiers on the battlefield. The gifts of God are not to be wasted. God gave you a talent to make the world a better place. Use it. Use it wisely. I'm not going to be driving 80 miles an hour in my BMW today. That would be foolish. Maybe God gave you one talent. Maybe God gave you many talents. Whether you have a little or a lot, everything you own is on loan from God. And I'm not just talking about your money here. I'm talking about every gift, every special thing about you. It's on loan from God. What are you going to do with it to bring glory to God today? What are you going to do for the sake of God's kingdom this week, this month, this year? Oh my goodness. There's so much gold that is not in your cell phone, in this congregation, in you. What do you have that can bless the world in God's name that's not being used right now? I tell you, invest what you've been given. Invest it wisely, and God will say to you, well done, good and faithful servant. I pray that you have the insight to take notice of your talent, to be affirmed in this congregation of the talent you have, and be given space to use it in a way that brings us a little bit closer to the way God intended this world to be. That's what stewardship's all about. Let's be good stewards, not steward little, steward lots, steward wise, steward child of God.